Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
This is not just religion. This is not just ceremonial. This is a changed person who has been engaged by God Himself and is now allowing Jesus to engage the world through them. How often do you meet this person? Secondly, are you this person? And if not, why not?
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. We're also very excited to tell you about a project we've been working on for quite some time now. Our mission has always been to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So this brand new concept to accomplish is bold and ambitious, and we're going to need your help. Richard will tell you more about it later on, but you can see it right now at our website, richardellis.com. But for right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Right or Left. So if you walk into the Congress of the United States, everything to your left, you go down that aisle, there's a center aisle, everything to your left is left, everything to your right is right. Conservative, liberal, they literally separate out the room. And so when you talk about people being way to the right, conservative, whatever, or way to the left, liberal, whatever that is, that's where we get that. So where should a Christian be? If you walked in the room, if you walked in the Congress, you're visiting the building, where would you sit? They said, pick a spot based on who you are. Where would you find yourself in the room? Would you be way over by the wall on the left or way over on the wall by the right? Or would you just kind of stand in the aisle? You say, well, these things shouldn't be discussed in church. So let me talk to you about that for a second. The First Amendment does not try to keep the government, keep the church so much out of government as government out of the church, right? That thing was passed to say, you leave us alone, okay? But people turn that around and say, well, we can't have an impact on government. But if we can have an impact on government, what kind of impact can we have? You say, well, I feel very strongly about your issue, wherever that issue is. Maybe it's on immigration, maybe it's on the economy, maybe it's on welfare or not, government control or not. You got some issue, you're hot on that issue. I got my issue, right? So anybody that knows me for any period of time knows that from a civic standpoint, as a person in a republic, a democracy where we can vote, I have an issue that I'm hot on. I'm a one-issue voter till that one issue is no longer an issue. You hear me say that, right? And some people clap about that. And some people use other forms of their hand to tell me how they feel. So I don't get upset. I don't hate you if you disagree with me, right? I don't have anything personal against you if you disagree with me. That's just where I am. And you say, well, what's that issue? It's abortion. I just really don't see how any nation in the world can kill 60-something plus million unborn children and last very long. I just don't get it, right? Now, you say, well, but you keep going after that as though something's going to change. Well, here's what I really know about that issue. I know that if somehow I vote a certain way and certain people put certain judges, and let's say a Supreme Court case gets overturned, that really that doesn't stop the killing. All that does is push it back to the states. You say, well, then what's your point? Why do you keep pushing? Because if you can do something to stop unborn children, and it's one of the most dangerous places in our country is in a woman's womb, unfortunately, you know, they don't know it, but you may or may not get out alive. What you think, you just, everybody get out alive. So even if you change all the laws, you vote a certain way, change all that, will the killing stop? Probably not. In the same way that murder of living people outside of the womb is illegal, and we still have that, but you'd think you'd want to slow that down too, right? So you say, well, why do you fight for these things? Why do you even verbalize these things? Because it's worth saying. But if you follow me around and listen to me speak long enough, you may hear me mention that, but what do you hear me speak of more than anything? Jesus, okay? So here's kind of where we're going today. Whether you're right or left, wherever you sit in that assembly and say, this is where I identify. Let me say this slowly and carefully. You better not be more hot about your issue than you are Jesus, or we're all in trouble. You can't find one instance, for instance, of civil disobedience, go do this as a Christian. And until recently in our world, United States, a few places around the world, you couldn't even pick your leader. So let's read some scriptures and I'll duck behind these. So Daniel chapter 2. And I'm just going to go through, this is an exhaustive list. It's just a few of these to kind of cover. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Speaking of God, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So, and I can read you a verse in the New Testament about this as well. So this is a little perplexing even for me to get my head around. The people in the world, even in North Korea, at any given time, the guy running North Korea is not there because he picked to be there. God put him there. You say, well, why would God put that guy there? I don't know, but that's what the book says. You say, well, what's his purpose? What's his plan? I don't know. But you don't get to be king, president, anything without God knowing it and it happening on his watch. So you say, well, that guy's a pig, that guy's a monster, that guy's a whatever. Whatever you can come up with, I got more verses for you where the scripture says to honor the king or whoever the person is in authority. Well, I can't do that. Then you're going to have a hard time reading the Bible and living a Christian life. See, if you stop honoring people you don't like, you're going to shoot your parents probably. Bible says, you know, honor your father and mother. Says to obey him as a child, but I'm not a child anymore. Says to honor him. Are you doing that or not? You either are or you aren't. Well, I don't like them. They were evil. They were mean. That's not what it says. It says to honor them. Find some way to honor them. Okay. Acts chapter 4. Okay, so I'm reading you this just because it's very practical. Okay? So let's say you go protest for some purpose and you get arrested. Some social thing you're about and you get arrested. That is not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. I hate to tell you, you can't mark it in your book and go 2-0 me. Right? That's not how it works. You want to get yourself arrested for preaching the gospel and doing what God told you to do because you're not going to back down. Now you're bringing it. But nobody's got any interest in that usually. So read Acts 4 verse 1 with me. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, so they lock them up. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. A decent day. I preached, 5,000 people got saved. I got arrested, not so good. I may get out, maybe not, but good day, 5,000, I'll take it. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So they're all in town. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I don't know. I'm trying to go easy and I don't want to be mean. Well, we prayed at lunch the other day and people saw us. We held hands. I'm not knocking your prayer. You got to step this up, right? We pray at meals and we could be persecuted. What are they going to pour lemonade on you? My gosh, what do you think's going on? Do something already. Talk to the waiter, the waitress. How are you doing today? What's going on with you? We were going to pray and thank God for our food, but is there anything we can pray for you about your life, your family? And then they leave going, oh my gosh. Somebody asked me. Somebody prayed for me. Some people don't have his number. I'm telling you. The reason they want you praying for them is they do not know how to get through. You keep trying. You keep engaging. You don't back down. So you say, well, I made an attempt. And the waitress said, it's none of your business what's going on in my life. Okay, try again the next time. Don't give up. Do something. Stretch it a little bit. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care where you're from. When you've been with Jesus, you come out like this, bold. And people know this is not just religion. This is not just ceremonial. This is a changed person who has been engaged by God himself and is now allowing Jesus to engage the world through them. That's a whole nother thing. How often do you meet this person? Secondly, are you this person? And if not, why not? Verse 14, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves saying, what shall we do to these men? So get them out of here and let's talk about it. What are we going to do to these guys? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on, they speak to no man in this name. So we got to stop these people. Now, you say, well, where does religion, and this is Jewish people trying to shut down Christians. They had certain legal rights. But if the government walks in here and says, no more in Jesus' name, you know what I'm going to say? Good luck, because we got no other name. Well, we're going to lock you up. Lock us up. Now you say, well, you say that casually like going to jail would be a simple thing. How are you going to sleep in your bed having denied Jesus? So you get to go home that night and you're going to lay there and think what? I just backed off of the man who died on a cross for me, was buried and raised from the dead, and I can't speak his name no matter what the cost. Now that day may be coming. I don't know if that day's coming. If it comes, you're going to find out who you are and whose you are. And I am trying to stay, keep the temperature up without that necessarily persecution. You say, well, dude, you say crazy things. People aren't going to come back. I'm not trying to get you to come back. I'm trying to get you to come and go out and be who you're supposed to be and help us all figure out what this is really about. Because if the day comes in this country, and if you read throughout history, a godless government will try to silence Christians because we are a problem. And worse than that, the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist in the world at all times is out to shut us up. Because we have the answer. We are the answer. Salt, light, we got it. They got to shut us down. And this is going on all over the world right now. Go to Belarus right now. They're trying to silence Christians. China, you name it. Okay? Keep reading. Do not speak in this name. No more Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, so what's their answer? Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. What do you think? How you doing? Kind of one of those. Like, really? You're going to tell us to stop speaking in name. So should we listen to you or to God? You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. And you keep reading, and these guys get arrested. Acts chapter 5. For the sake of time, we'll go down to the bottom of this verse. They're in jail, verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, and the angel's giving them directions now, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Don't back down. So now they got arrested, and they're like, okay, we're back at it. In the temple where they were told not to go. And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with them came and called the council together with all the elders and the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Like, we have no idea how they got out. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They're out there again. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, and they feared the people lest they should be stoned. So now they're worried the people are going to stone the religious rulers. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, now, did we not tell you? Like, let's go back over this. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? Wouldn't even say in Jesus. not to teach in his name. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, is that your decision? You say, yeah, and so I'm going to riot and I'm going to protest and I'm going to break the law and get myself arrested. That is not what this is talking about. You can do that. The context of these stories is preaching Jesus. You say, well, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to get out in a temple somewhere out on the street. Interesting how we make fun of the street preachers. Oh, look at that crazy guy out there. He's out there on that corner. Repent! Holding his Bible up. Oh, man, you're crazy. No crazier than some Old Testament prophet or these guys. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. Now remember, they're furious. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. You better think about what you're about to do. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Nothing came of it. And now I say to you, keep away from these men. Now why? And let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Now let me tell you something about what we're doing. This is not just some movement where a few hundred people. This has been going on for 2,000 years and moving forward. And what they discovered pretty quick is that if they fought Christianity, they were fighting against God. And they agreed with him. Now, this is really weird. You think, well, how is this going to go with what they just decided? They agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, let's just throw that in there for good measure. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, you say, well, I'm not getting beaten for anything. You're already beat. You say, what does that mean? So if you just became a Christian, so let me be gentle with this. If you just became a Christian Tuesday or something, okay, it's going to take some time to get you up and running. But I'm speaking to people who have been, you say you got saved 20, 30, 40 years ago, and we couldn't find anybody in your circle of family, friends, anywhere who would even say that was what who you are. Something is not working. Because if you get Jesus and he moves in and he takes over and he is Lord and Savior and he begins to change you from the inside out, then your life is going to be mobilized in a world. You're going to be salt. You're going to be light. You're going to change the world. It's not possible. And you will get to the place where if you say, I'm going to speak in Jesus' name, and they say, if you do, we'll beat you, that somewhere in the mix you say, then you're going to have to beat me because I will not be silent. But if you've never been anything but silent, the thought of being beaten for that is totally bizarre. You can't even get caught being a Christian, much less be beaten for speaking his name. Now, you say, well, what's the point of all this? You gotta step this up, people. What are you doing here? Well, I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to do. I paid my taxes and I gave some money to the church and I waved at an old lady in the grocery store. She waved back. My evangelism verse, follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. I'm not buying it. When I meet someone and they say they're a follower of Christ, I want to hear some fishing stories. Tell me what you got. Show me your fish. That's exciting conversation. And you say, well, why do you keep telling stories about leading people to Christ? Are you just bragging? No, I'm trying to bait you into going fishing. You are the bait. Go fish. Give a reason for the hope that's within you. And once you get going, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Where were we? How many verses? Oh, they beat him. That's where we were. They beat him. So they beat him. Let him go. And then look at the next verse. So they departed from the presence of the council. What? Oh my gosh.
gosh, we got beat
or beaten. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Like, this is the stuff. You think these people are nuts? No, they're not nuts. They get it. The world is going to hate you. They're going to hate me. I know there are people that unlike and, you know, he's nuts and they're not going to listen anymore. That's okay. I don't have to answer for that. I got to answer for not backing down, speaking the truth in love, and so do you. And I promise you, today, the next day, every day of your life that you're on this planet, if you at least leave your home or talk to someone, tech, whatever, you are going to have an opportunity to give a reason for the hope that's within you. You have to seize the opportunities. You say, well, how do I know when that's happening? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If he lives inside of you, you're communicating with him. If you're communicating with you, he will literally, without an audible voice with me, speak to that person. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. How many people have had that experience? Please raise your hand. Okay, so this is not just me. You say, well, I'm nervous. Okay, it's okay to be nervous. Has anybody in here, non-medical personnel, ever delivered a baby outside of a hospital? Raise your hand. Nobody. You see it in the movies. Back of a cab. Okay, second question. If you were on a bus somewhere and a woman is having a baby, would you try to assist her if you were the only person around to deliver that child, not knowing a thing about what you were doing, but you would still try to say, let me try to help you? Raise your hand. You're up. When a person becomes a Christian, they're being born again. And you say, well, I got to get them to somebody who knows how to do this. There is nobody. Sometimes there's nobody but you. And if you can already see the head, you can get the rest out. There we go. So, little personal experience. Okay. So, anyway. You say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. When a baby's coming, they're coming. Right? I'm borderline begging you, get in the game, get in the war. These people are everywhere. They can't figure out why no one's talking to me. Suicides, depression. They got no answers. You can only have sex with so many people. You can only do so many drugs. You can only drink so much alcohol. You can only buy so much crap. You know, there's only so much. And then they go, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. I've run all these traps and I'm trapped. Now what do I do? And someone walks along and the Holy Spirit says, hey, talk to that guy. Hey, how are you doing? Do you mind if I pray for you? And they're a little freaked out and you pray for them and they start crying and what's going on? And can't believe you showed up. I've been asking God to send me help forever. Nobody showed up. You showed up. All right, so here's my last point. You either get right or you get left. You say, well, how do I get right? You got to get right with him first. How do I get right with him? You say, God, I got no more excuses. Let me tell you one of the most powerful things in the world that anybody can ever do, any addiction, any anything. Take responsibility. Stop blaming everybody else on the planet for your problems, and God included. Stop blaming. They tried it in the garden. It does not work. Take responsibility. So you say, God, I take responsibility. I am a sinner, period. No excuses. And I don't want to live this way anymore, and I don't want to die this way. I understand now that you love me, that Jesus died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead to offer me the forgiveness of my sins and eternal life with you forever. I'm in. If it's a gift, I'm going to do like I do at Christmas, and I'm going to say thank you very much and accept. So come live in me, come live through me, change me. I'm yours. And what do I always tell you? It can't be that easy. And the answer is, easy for who? It's easy for us because he made everything simple. He's the one that did the dying. He's the one that suffered. He's the one that took your place. And he makes it available and even gives you the faith to believe. You don't even have to come up with the faith. So I encourage you, if you don't know him, you can literally go from having God everywhere in the universe and in eternity and in heaven to moving into your physical body, and that will change everything.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis coming to you from a football field about 1 foot from the goal line, and that's how we feel at richardellis.com about what's going on in the ministry. AI scares a lot of people, it doesn't scare us. We are sitting on an opportunity of a lifetime where all of our messages, audio and especially video, can be translated into multiple languages. This gives us an opportunity to fulfill our mission statement, which is to take the planet. but we need your help. We cannot do this on our own. We've done everything that we know to do to make it possible, but this thing takes funding. That's where you come in. It's a team effort, and without you on the team praying for us and giving, we will not get this over this goal line. So go to richardellis.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you in advance. Love you, and God bless you.
I can't tell you how excited we are about this. To be able to share Richard's messages in other languages is beyond our wildest dreams. We have worked extremely hard in pulling this off and have done all the legwork to get it this far. Think about it. People in other parts of the world can now hear Richard in their own language. And because you have enjoyed these messages, others around the planet will be able to as well. But we need your help right now to make this opportunity happen. You can contribute at our website, richardellis.com, or call 855-6-RICHARD. Once again, that's richardellis.com, or call 855-6-RICHARD. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.